The following is a presentation of Remnant. Light of the
world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
Good morning. I don't always get to say good morning to everybody because I know right before the service I'm kind of running around doing stuff. But officially, good morning. I'm glad that you're here. Glad that, not glad that this is the last message in our series, Extreme Makeover. I know that this has been an incredible series, and I hope that you've got as much out of this as I have. As Jerry and I both have said before, it's been really painful sitting down, opening God's Word, and reading the book of James, and then you actually see the things that God has for you to give. Sometimes it's a little scary because you begin to realize, hey, I'm actually speaking on issues and things that people could witness in my life. If I'm not doing these things, people are going to notice, and it's going to be obvious. And so for that reason, it's been pretty torturous, I think. Wouldn't you agree, Jerry? This has been a pretty tough study to speak to you guys on. And so we're hoping that we've tormented you just as much as we've been tormented by it. It's basically what I'm saying. But in reality, James has so much that we need to know for living a life that's honoring to God and for being the kind of people that would be followers of Christ. And the deal is that we could actually go through this series again and do all brand new messages, fresh stuff, and you'd be like, wow, I've never heard that before. Well, when I'm speaking, you might say, yeah, I've heard that story before. But the thing is, I'll look at a passage and I'll see something I never saw in it the first time I looked at it. And as I'm looking at the book of James, as a matter of fact, the verses that we're going to talk about today, as we finish up the last chapter, I looked at these verses and God was showing me things that I'd never seen before. And I really thought that I had the book of James kind of down in a way as far as at least understanding it. I think I mentioned near the beginning of our series that when I was in high school, we had to memorize the book of James, which at the time, you know, I was like, why do we got to memorize the book of James? And so, okay, we memorized it from the King James, by the way. So if I ever quote from James, I slip back into the old, you know, medieval times mode. But we had to learn it. And when I was learning it at the time, I was thinking, man, why are we having to do this? This is boring. This is dumb. You know, all those teenage thoughts that were going through my head. And then at the end of that, as a matter of fact, when I started college, I remember specific situations that I was in when I was away from home, away from my family, and obviously once you leave the protection of your home, you do a lot of stupid things. And so I remember myself being in situations and thinking back to the book of James and remembering things that I had memorized and saying to myself, man, if I'm going to live according to what God says, these things can't just be true in my memory. These things have to be true in my actions as well. And so we're hoping that as you have had a chance to look into this study with us, that God is telling you the same thing, that these things need to be true for your actions and not just true, you know, for reading or for listening to. And so we'll get into our study here. We're in James chapter 5. If you guys want to look there, we'll have the verses up there on the screen for you as well. The title of my message is Living on a Prayer. And that might sound familiar to some of you that were born in the 70s. Because right about mid-80s, Bon Jovi came out with a pretty cool song, Living on a Prayer. You know, if you were really cool, you would play that really loud and roll down your windows as you were cruising. If you were not so cool, you were probably riding your bike on the sidewalk and somebody else was doing that. And as they would pass by, you would hear just like 2 seconds of the song and you would bob your head for a couple of seconds and then it was over. That was me. Although the song is not necessarily the greatest song, Living on a Prayer is really the reality of what James is talking about in these last few verses. I think we're going to be talking about 8 verses this morning, and in these 8 verses, I think you'll discover that James is telling us we have got to be living on prayer. Let's pray and ask God to bless our time. Father, thank you so much for just giving us all that you've given us. God, we take so many things for granted, and even as we look at your word this morning, God, we take for granted the fact that we have your written word in front of us. Father, help us not to ever take that for granted. Help us to know that It truly is a privilege for us to be able to learn from you. God, you communicate to us through your word. Father, but you desire that it would not be a one-way communication. God, you desire to hear from us as well, and you want us to have that communion with you, Father. And so this morning, as we look at what it means to be men and women of prayer, to be men and women that not only are followers of you, but are close friends, friends that can talk and that can share back and forth, God, that's the relationship that you desire for us to have with you. And so this morning, God, we ask that that would come out and speak through the things that I say, Father. It's only because of you that I could even make sense up here this morning. And I just commit this to you, Father. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I'll have to admit I stole this analogy from Jerry. But I had to say that because otherwise Jerry would be sitting in the back saying, wait a second, he's taking credit for a really good thing. And so Jerry originally said this. But I remember as a kid, now this is me speaking, not Jerry. I confused you. Okay, forget all that stuff I said. I'll take all the credit for this. When I was a kid, one of my favorite shows was Superman. And I'm not talking about the Superman cartoon, okay, where Superman's all buff, good looking. I'm talking about Superman, the TV show, where Superman was slightly overweight, not real muscular, but, you know, decent looking guy. That's the Superman that I remember. And I remember watching the Superman episodes, and the majority of the episode, Superman is in the form of Clark Kent. Am I right? He's a little bit nerdy. He's kind of just an ordinary, average guy. Works for the paper. Wears glasses. Not that glasses makes you nerdy. Oh, by the way, I do wear glasses, and so every once in a while I show up with my glasses on, and I think the same people ask me over and over again, you wear glasses? Yes, I do. Occasionally, I wear glasses when I'm not wearing my contacts. So I don't know why I threw that in there, but somebody once said that I look like I have Clark Kent glasses. Maybe so. That's a compliment, though, as you will see from my story. But here's the deal. Clark Kent, he has all the power of Superman because he is Superman, but he's in disguise, living an ordinary life. And then when some evil thing happens and some situation occurs where Superman needs to come to the rescue, what does he do? He dips into the phone booth, he changes at super speed, and he's back out of there again, and he goes and he saves the world. And believe it or not, James is actually talking about that in these last few verses. He's talking about the fact that we have a power available to us at all times. And before we face whatever evil is tossed our way, before we face whatever situation approaches us, we've got to dip into that phone booth, metaphorically speaking, of course. We've got to spend that time in prayer with God, and because that's where we receive our power. That's where we receive the ability to face whatever it is that comes our way. And I think we'll see that this morning. Let's look at James chapter 5, starting with verse 13. It says, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Here James begins by saying, basically, every circumstance in life calls for prayer. Every circumstance in life calls for prayer. What is he? He just lists four circumstances here, but what are they? He says, in tough times, now that could describe a huge portion of our lives. He says, in happiness. He says, in physical illness. And if you've never experienced any of those three situations, then you fit into the last situation, which is being a sinner. James says, in every occasion, in every one of these situations, whether it's that you're going through a tough time that you feel that you can't handle, whether you're facing some physical sickness, whether you're just having the best time of your life, James is saying, in every circumstance, prayer is the right thing. There was a movie that came out, I think it was like 5-6 years ago maybe, My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Anybody see that movie? Pretty funny movie. One of my favorite characters in the movie is the father, I think the father of the girl. Guy's just hilarious. If you haven't seen the movie, you should probably check it out because it's a pretty funny movie. But he had this obsession with Windex. You remember that? And he would spray Windex on everything. You know, you get a mosquito bite, he would spray Windex on it. he had to loosen a bolt or something. He would spray Windex on it. And so throughout the whole movie, there's these little scenes, these little clips where this guy's spraying Windex on stuff. You know, someone will be sitting at the dinner table, and they'll scratch their arm, and he'll whip out with his Windex and spray them real quick. And he had this solution, and it was Windex. Well, a couple people in the past have made fun of me because I discovered the same thing about Windex. It really is the cure-all. Well, I don't spray it on me when I get, mosquito bites or anything like that. But I discovered that Windex does a lot more than just clean windows, which that was, when I discovered that, was an amazing find, because I've used Windex for a number of things, to get gum out of the carpet. Who would have thought? I use Windex to get ink off my hands. How do I get ink on my hands? That's another story. But I discovered that there was all these applications for Windex. And once I discovered that, I thought to myself, I never need to be without a bottle of Windex. It's got to be in the cupboard. It's got to be under the sink. It's got to be somewhere where I can go and get it. Now, they have imitation Windex, window cleaner. It's the same color. But, it's not really Windex. It's just water with blue food coloring in it or something like that. So you got to really actually go with Windex. And I discovered that Windex, in just about every situation, seems to work. I realized that in every situation in life, you're going to discover, maybe not just like Windex, but you're going to discover that prayer works in every single situation. There's not a single problem or issue that will come along in your life that cannot be addressed by prayer, that cannot be brought before God and have God do something about that. Now, there's a little bit of stipulations on that, so we'll look a little further here, but let me say this first. Our circumstance is affected when we pray with confidence that God hears and will answer. Our circumstance is affected when we pray with confidence that God hears and will answer. Do you notice that James says in verse 15, he says, such prayer offered in faith will heal the sick. Such prayer offered in faith. In other words, you have got to believe that not only is God hearing you, but that God has the ability to answer your prayer. And it has to happen on every occasion. That faithful kind of prayer has to happen in every circumstance. Now, there are times that we pray prayers and we're just like, God, I hope you hear me. I hope you answer this. I don't know if this is getting through. Have you ever done that? But God is saying, I want you to come to me with the confidence that I can do something about the thing that you're bringing before me. We're reminded to do this at all times. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times on every occasion. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we're reminded, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who persistently seek him. I remember the story of the little boy that's out playing in his sandbox in the yard, and his dad is in the kitchen, and he can actually see the boy playing in the sandbox. And he's watching his son as he is trying to remove this big rock out of the sandbox. It's in the way. He's trying to make little kids like to drive, make little tracks through the sand. He's playing with his cars, and this rock is in the way. And so he begins to try to lift it to move it, but it's too heavy. And so the dad watches from the window for a time, watches the kid try different things and try to move the rock out of the sandbox, and he just can't do it. And so finally he goes outside, and he's standing there by the sandbox. And at this point, his son has broken down. He begins to cry. I can't move this rock. And he says, what's wrong, son? Dad, I can't move the rock. It's impossible. Have you tried all your strengths? Yeah, Dad, I've tried everything. And he said, no, son, you have not tried everything because you haven't asked me. Not realizing that the son had much more strength than he thought. And the strength was coming from his father. We need to have that same understanding. We need to connect with the idea that we are not going to be able to face every circumstance in life. We're too weak. We're too faulty. We don't have the intelligence. We don't have what it takes. But God does. And so in every occasion, God is asking us to come to him in prayer. Let's look at verse 16. James says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. So James brings up another very interesting point here. You see, not only is he encouraging us to pray, and he's encouraging us as we pray to pray believing and knowing that God is going to answer our prayer, that God hears and answers our prayers. But now, James has put another angle on prayer. What is he saying here? He's saying that the prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And the example he gives is Elijah. Now, how was Elijah righteous? Because Elijah was doing everything that God had called him to do. If you want to read the story, it's in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18. Great story. But basically the situation is that God was depending on Elijah to report to the people of Israel because they would not get rid of these false idols, the idols of Baal. He was reporting to them that God was going to withhold his blessing and they were going to not have rain and their crops were going to die and they were going to go through this drought. And so Elijah is faithful to God because God has revealed this to him. So Elijah is acting on the revealed word of God, and Elijah is living a life that's right before God. And for those reasons, when Elijah comes to God and he prays that it would not rain, God answers a prayer. Does that make sense? It's because of Elijah's position, because he was righteous before God, because he was in right living before God, and so God responded to the prayer that he offered him. And it's the same way for us. I would put it this way. Powerful prayer comes from a heart that desires to honor God. Powerful prayer comes from a heart that desires to honor God. Elijah prays his prayer out of an understanding of God's revealed word and a life that was surrendered to obedience to God. And that's the kind of life that we need to have if we expect God to answer our prayers. Because the fact is, if we're coming to God and our prayers are selfish and our prayers are our prayers in our time of need and it's on our schedule, they're things that are satisfying our own wants and desires, and we're not praying in line with God's will for our lives, God's not going to honor that kind of prayer. If we want to see our prayers be effective, our lives must be characterized by obedience to God. If we want to see our prayers be effective, our lives must be characterized by obedience to God. Take notice of that word characterized. Because here's the thing. Sometimes we think that we can get something from God if we're really good for a day. You know what I'm saying? We decide, you know, I really need to bring this before God, and so, God, I'm going to do everything you tell me. And so it's almost like we try to kiss up to God at times. We try to do these certain things at this certain time in hopes that if we go to God with this one request, God is going to see what we've done and how we've honored him in that situation, and he's going to answer that. But I believe that James is telling us that our lives must be characterized. In other words, it must be a habit of being obedient to God. It has to be a regular part of your life in order for you to have an effective prayer life. Your obedience to God has to be a characteristic of your life. And a characteristic is not developed in a week. It's not developed in a month. It may not even be developed in a year. But if you're consistently obedient to God, you're going to be a man or a woman of powerful prayer. John 15:7, Jesus says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." Pretty big promise. But it comes with a condition. He says, if you are doing what I say and you remember the things that I've taught you, I'm going to give you your request. And I guarantee that if you're living a life that's honoring to God and your heart's desire is to honor him with your life, the things that you pray for are going to be way different than they would be if you were out living a life that did not honor God. Because then you're praying out of a selfish heart. And so God desires for us to pray from a heart that's yielded to him and submitted to him in obedience. John 14:14 and verse 15. I ought to read these two verses because a lot of times we like to read John 14:14 and then we skip the verse that comes after it. It says, "If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Then the second verse says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And my friends, those verses belong together because God desires that we do what he says. And we pray in response to an obedient heart. Is it making sense? Every once in a while, we'll take a little fishing trip, get on a boat, go on the lake. Lake Marina is a place we've gone a couple different times, taken several of the youth with me, have some pretty funny stories. So if you want to hear some funny stories about hooks getting caught in people's hair. I won't mention anybody's name, but you know, sometimes the bigger your hair is, the more likely the hook will get caught in it, Chris Jones. But there are times when we would toss the anchor over the side of the boat, and the anchor really is just this coffee can filled with cement with a rope attached to it. And so it really doesn't latch on to anything at the bottom of the lake. And so we toss the anchor over, and we'll notice as we're sitting in the boat that we just keep kind of moving with the current, even though our anchors are over. Well, that's great if you're, you know, not trying to fish in a specific spot. And so I thought about this. If I were to throw the anchor out to the shore and I would start pulling on the rope, would the shore come to me or would I go to the shore? Simple physics here. If it was Chuck Norris, the shore would come to me. But the thing is, the shore doesn't come to us. We go to the shore. And yet, we feel like, at times, that God has moved away from us, that God has become distant to us. When the fact is, we become distant from God. And so, if we throw our anchor out, if we come to God in prayer, we are actually drawing close to God. God is not necessarily drawing close to us. And that's something that we need to understand, because when we think of it that way, you don't want to be out in the middle of the lake when problems arise. You want to stay as close to the shoreline or as close to God as you can. And so I would encourage you to not only go to God during certain circumstances in your life, because some circumstances you would honestly say, I feel like I need God more in this situation. And the times when things are going well, sometimes we forget about or take for granted the fact that God is there for us. And so we really need to understand that this needs to be a consistent thing, like I said, something that our life is characterized by. Let's look back at verse 19. Now, James ends this chapter and ends this book with these two verses. And I honestly puzzled over these two verses and how they fit into this whole idea of praying in faith and praying out of a heart that desires to honor God. And I thought and thought about it, and then I recognized something. I recognized that our prayer, and us being a person that wants to honor God and being a powerful, prayerful person, ties perfectly in to these next two verses. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. Now, why does James end this whole chapter by talking about going out and pulling someone back who's wandered off into unsafe territory? Why does James end this whole discourse on prayer by talking about going out and pulling people back? I believe that a heart that desires to honor God seeks to bring others to Him. A heart that desires to honor God seeks to bring others to Him. Whether it's someone who at one point was in fellowship with God and then has just kind of wandered away, maybe they got deceived or they allowed their self to take over and so they've wandered far away from God, or whether it's a person that has never experienced God's grace. If you're a person that desires to honor God, you'll go after them. Your desire of your heart will be to seek after those that are without God. I would say it this way: prayerful obedience to God causes us to look beyond ourselves and have concern for others. If you are a person who is effectively believing that God can answer our prayers, and that's the reason that you come to God and pray, and you do that out of a heart that's yielded to Him in obedience, then all of those things together are going to cause you to desire that other people know God as well. And so the question really is, do we desire to see people come to Christ? Do we desire to see someone that doesn't know God to come to know Him and truly experience Him the way that we have? If that's not the desire of your heart, you have to ask yourself the question, am I a person that actually believes, first of all, that God is who God says He is? And do I believe that He hears and that He answers prayer? And am I being obedient to that God? You have to ask yourself that question, because of the desire for you to go out and reach out to others and allow God to touch their lives through you. If that desire is not there in your heart, or it's not strong, you have to question where you stand with God. Where are you on this issue? In your life, does every circumstance demand that you go to God in prayer? Are you praying prayer out of a heart that desires to honor God? If you are, I believe that James is telling us that you're going to be a person that seeks to bring others to God. Galatians 6, verse 1, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back on the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself." It's a little tricky when you're trying to bring somebody back when they've gone away from the truth. Because there's always that danger that you could slip away as well. But not if you're a person that takes God seriously and you trust and you put your faith in Him, that He hears and answers your prayers, and that you pray to Him out of a heart that's yielded and submitted to Him. And so, going back to the Clark Kent illustration. Thanks, Jerry. You may go through this life and you may feel that you're an ordinary person and you may feel you don't have a lot to offer. But the fact is, you have a Heavenly Father that is so powerful and so great, and you simply have to draw close to Him. And James says that you can have an effective and powerful prayer life. James closes out this entire discussion, and think of the things that we talked about. We talked about struggles that we have within ourselves. We talked about struggles that we have that come from without. All these things, James ends this whole discussion by saying we've got to be men and women of prayer. If any of this is going to make sense, and if any of this is really going to happen, we've got to be people that have faith and have trust in God and that respond to God out of a heart that's yielded to Him.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.